We'll be looking at verses 18 through 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Mm-hmm. If you've found your place, and if you're able, please stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 18 through 24. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for all your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for tender mercies. Oh, yeah. Oh Lord, where would we be were it not for tender mercies? But Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the way you love us, you're good to us. Lord, you hold back that wrath, and Lord, you're just good to us. Lord, you're far better to us than we deserve, and Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you'll help us this morning. Help those that are here. Help those that they may be attentive and listen, Lord, not to me, but what you'll say to them. And Lord, may you speak to somebody this morning like you've never had before, and may they hear something that they've never heard before. And Lord, I can't do that, but Lord, you can, and there's nothing too hard for God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help this morning. The Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Lord, we need you this morning. We really do. We need you. Lord, I pray you'll just move on somebody this morning. Lord, help me as I preach. Help me to rightly divide the Word. Help me to say what you have me to say, no more and no less. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help me to be sensitive. Lord, I don't want to say anything out of the way, but Lord, help me to say what you'd have me to say. And Lord, just let you do the rest. Lord, I can just cast the seed, but Lord, you'll give the increase. And so, Lord, we're depending on you this morning, and Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray most of all that you get all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory out of everything that's said and done this morning. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We've been looking some time at go ahead. For his tender mercies and grace. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else on anything on your heart? Well, we've been looking the last several weeks at the gospel, at the resurrection, the death, things around the cross. And as we've looked at that, there's been a thought that's been kindly stirring in me, and I didn't really have any liberty or anything with it, but it seems like the last three or four days it's kindly coming together. And so I wanted to deal with and it may be a mini series, I don't know, but the thought came to my mind. It was stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. Stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. And I've kindly been getting questions or thoughts or something that are what you would consider stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. And I may deal with them from time to time, but this one come to me this week. And like I said, today may be more just laying the groundwork, but it says here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 23, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." Now the preaching of Christ was to the Jews a stumbling block, because to them it just did not make sense. Why would you worship? Why would you put your trust in one that came and was crucified by man, the way they treated him, the way they did him, how could you put your hope and your trust in something like that? And so for them, it was a stumbling block. Now that word stumbling block is obviously a stumbling block is something that gets in your way. It's something that blocks your way, and it's something that causes some to stumble, causes some to fall. It could be something that is an offense.
Sure.
It could be something that offends you, a stumbling block. And in fact, the word stumbling block here is in the Greek, it's the word scandalon, which is where we get our word scandal. Paul's saying the preaching of the cross, to some, it's a scandal.
Yep.
Some thinks it's a scandal. Some say that it's a scam, that it don't make any sense. And it's an offense to some.
Sure does. Sure does.
But Paul said to us, it's the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
He said, it ain't a stumbling block to me, but for some, it's a stumbling block. And stumbling blocks are make people fall. They make people weary. Sometimes stumbling blocks even make people throw in the towel and quit.
True.
So I want to look at some stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. Now, to some, like I said, it's an offense. But in foreknowledge, God, the Lord, knew about the difficulty the Jews would have in accepting Jesus. He knew all about it in foreknowledge. He knew what was going to happen. So in grace and in mercy, tender mercies, He sent a forerunner. He sent a forerunner, and in Matthew chapter number 11, verses 7 through 15, it says this. It says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John," not John the Beloved, but John the Baptist. And it says, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Prepared a way. I've heard one preacher called him a spiritual bulldozer. And Isaiah, he talked about it too. Hundreds of years before John the Baptist, in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it."
Right.
John the Baptist was a bulldozer. In a way, he was going before time to try to get some of them stumbling blocks out of the way. But the Lord knew in foreknowledge what was going to be in their way, and he tried. Now some of them still stumbled, some of them still fell, but he said, "I'm going to make the valleys tall, I'm going to make the mountains low, I'm going to make a highway for the Lord. I'm going to try to make the way straight." He was a spiritual bulldozer. And just like the Jews, we've created stumbling blocks in our lives. We have stumbling blocks, we have offenses, we have I don't know if you want to call them preconceived ideas, but there are certain things that are in our way that are stumbling blocks.
Yep.
They cause us to fall. They cause us to get weary. It's even caused some to throw in the towel and quit and say, to the devil with it all, I'm throwing in the towel.
Yep.
Stumbling blocks. I thought of some stumbling blocks this week. I thought of one that people say, "Well, why do I need to repent? I'm not that bad. I ain't done nothing. I've been in church all my life. I'm not that bad." And then I've also heard the opposite. I've heard people say, "I'm too bad. He can't save me. I you don't know what I've done. And I don't know what you've done." But some people say, "I'm too bad." It's a stumbling block. Some people say, "I don't have nothing to repent of." That's a stumbling block. Some people says, "I've been here for all this time and he's not doing any moving. He's not saving anybody." That's a stumbling block. causing some to throw in the towel and quit and say, I'm done with it. I'm going to go live it up. But it's a stumbling block. And I thought about those. And one of the stumbling blocks that I thought about that I want to deal with this morning for a little bit is the question, can I just get saved whenever I want to? Can't I just do it right now and get... What's the big hubbub? Or I just want to do it right now. And to some, when they find out that they can't, it's a stumbling block. And they want to throw in the towel and they want to quit. And to some, we've had them come by here that way before. And they'll say, that's a stumbling block. That's an offense to some. But it's a stumbling block. Can't I get saved whenever I want? And you'll say, well, Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And hey, that verse is in the Bible, and I believe it. But it refers back to Joel when it talks about submission and being broken. When that person in that condition calls upon the name of the Lord, when the Lord has finished the work, and whenever the Lord enables them to believe, whenever they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
That's right.
I believe that verse. I don't believe it the way many preach it today. The Ephesians 2:8. In 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. The next verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right.
If you could do it yourself, if you could do it whenever you wanted to, you'd boast about it.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are boasting today about it. But he said it's not. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so when I think about the question, well, can I get saved just any time I want to? I thought about four things to look at this morning on this stumbling block on the road to salvation. I thought first of all about there is a way of salvation, and then I thought about there's the weakness of a seeker. And then I want to look at the work of the Spirit. And then I also wanted to look at the wonder of surrender. It's a wonder. And I want to look at those four things, thinking about the thought here. Now, stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. Can't I just get saved anytime I want to? Can't I just get saved whenever I want to? First of all, there's a way of salvation. Now, you say, a way? And that speaks of a road, that speaks of a path, that speaks of a path, a road. And now I'm not saying that, by that, I'm not saying that it has to be somebody has to go for a long time to be saved.
Right.
I'm just saying that the Bible speaks about a road, a path, a way. And so for somebody just to say, Lord, save me, and it be done on your terms, that's not biblical.
That's right.
And so there is a way. I'm not saying it has to take a long time.
Right.
I'm not saying you can do it like that. Salvation is instantaneous.
That's right.
When the Lord saves you, and I'm going to say when He saves you, it's going to be instantaneous. As Brother Charles would say, it's so fast, it's past tense.
Right.
But getting to that point, it's not instantaneous. It takes, the Bible speaks about a work of God, and we'll get to it here in a minute, but the Bible speaks about a way, speaks about a path. We've all read we've all heard about the book Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote that, and it speaks about Christian there. He lived in the city of destruction, and he heard about the celestial city. I think that's the name of it. The celestial city, and he took off on the way, his progress to get to that city. He didn't do it like that. He wasn't just teleported into it. He had to travel. And so you say, well, I didn't think it was a way. Well, Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight in the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
That's right.
It speaks of a way. Now you can't shoot the messenger. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's a broad way and a narrow way.
Right.
You're on the broad way. Now you may have a clean life and you may be on the clean side of the broad way, but you're still on the broad way.
That's right.
And when you're awakened and light comes, and all of a sudden you see, that's the narrow way over there. Many go to the narrow way and things change in their life. Like Brother Pascal was saying this morning, and if you're not careful, many jump on that as salvation. But all you've done is you move from the broad way to the narrow way.
That's right.
The Bible says the straight gate is where salvation's at, and it's on down there.
That's it.
And he said those the narrow way. And he said there'll be few that'll find the straight gate. That means that there's a way to the straight gate. He said there'll be few that'll find the straight gate. And then in Luke 13:24, he says, strive to enter in the straight gate. He said, for many will seek to enter in and will not be able. So there is few that'll even find the gate. But then Bible also says there's going to be few that's going to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, why? Can't you just turn the knob? Or Revelation 3:20 says, I got the knob on the inside of my heart. Can't I just open the door and let Jesus in? No, we got that all wrong today. He's talking about the door of the church. He's out there knocking in saying, hey, I want to come in. But all the programs and things we got going on, we don't have time for Jesus no more.
That's it.
But through a work, many people, when they get there, they find out what they're going to have to forsake and what they're going to have to give up. What they're going to have to not be able to do no more. A stumbling block.
That's right.
And they'll say, I can't pay that price. I'm just gonna throw in the towel and quit.
What
and so we've seen it. We've seen it time and time again. But the Bible also in Psalms 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Mm-hmm. Now I heard somebody say, well, he's talking about a sinner saved by grace. Well, I don't believe the Bible never calls a saint a sinner after he's been saved anymore. You're either a sinner or a saint.
Right.
You're in or you ain't. That's the only two. And so when he says he'll teach sinners in the way, that's talking about the way of salvation, the way to the straight gate.
Right.
And so you can call it a path, you can call it a road, you can call it a way, you can call it whatever you want to, but we've all strayed from it. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way.
That's right.
We've all did that. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right, right.
Stumbling blocks on the road to salvation.
True.
Can I just get saved anytime I want? Well, there's a way. There's a road that leads to salvation. There's a road. Salvation's instantaneous.
Right.
But to get to that straight gate that Matthew 7 talks about and Luke 13:24 talks about, it takes some effort.
Mm-hmm.
We see the way of salvation. But also, another thing that I want to look at is the weakness of the sinner. Now, when I say weakness, that's actually giving them a lot of credit. It's actually total inability.
That's right.
It's not just weak, but I needed a W, so I said weakness. But it's total inability.
Mm-hmm.
Total inability. You say, well, why can't I just get saved whenever I want to? I'm a seeker now. Well, when the Lord finishes the work, whenever the Lord enables you to believe, whenever he's completed that work of reproval, work of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and the work of conviction is complete, he'll enable you to believe, and then you can believe. But it won't have nothing to do with when you want to.
That's right.
It's all the work of him. And although you've been awakened, you say, I'm a seeker. Although you've been awakened, although you know your need, although you've had light, you're still without God in need of salvation.
That's it.
You're one of those that you're not on a broad road no more. You're on the narrow one, and that's good. But as we said last week and the week before that, don't stop being on the narrow road. Don't even stop at the straight gate. cry out for mercy, and as he enables you to take steps toward him and believe, do all you can.
Right.
And that's not works for salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's man's responsibility.
That's right.
And I know he's sovereign. He's the sovereign authority of him, but he also has a human responsibility. When he says obey, if you don't obey, you'll sit right there.
That's right.
You'll get stagnant on him. Mm-hmm. Though graced with light, the seeker is totally unable to do anything of himself. Mm-hmm. When it comes to salvation, he's incapable of saving himself. Yeah. I want to do it today. Well, you can't unless he's enabled you. You can't. You can't do anything until enabled by the Lord. John 6:44 says this. It says, no man. Now, that's mankind. Somebody says, well, I'm not a man. I'm a woman. No, that's mankind.
That's right.
No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Draw him. No man, no mankind can come. You can't do it on yourself. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. Talking about that rich man getting saved, that camel going through that eye of a needle. He said, with man, it's impossible. That don't mean it's hard to do. That don't mean if you strut and strain enough, you can get in. It means it's impossible. It means it cannot be done. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
With God, all things are possible. So it's a work of God. Hosea 11, verse number 4, he says, I drew them. He says, no man can come to the Father except he's drawn. Hosea 11:4 says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He says, I drew them. And he draws it with tender mercies. He don't do it all at once. It would kill you. You wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right.
But he does it tenderly and softly. I heard someone on the radio just this week. They made this statement talking about salvation. They said, no one can make you accept the Lord, but no one can keep you from accepting him. Well, I know where he was coming from. He was coming from, you need to do it right now. No man can make you, but no man can keep you from it. It's all on the Lord's time schedule. Whenever he does the work. The way he was talking about it, it was man's doing. It was works. But that you can, those of you that have, there's some here that have done it.
Yep.
They've said the prayers. They've done the crying. They've done the baptism. They've joined the church. They've done all that stuff. And they can tell you that unless the Lord does the work, it won't be done.
That's right. That's right.
They can attest to that. And so we see the weakness, the inability of the sinner. We see the way of salvation. It's a road. It's a path. It's a way. But thirdly, we see the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. Can I just get saved whenever I want to? It's a work of the Spirit.
Right.
It's a work of the Spirit. The only way that one is saved is through a work of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says, I'm saved, well, then they ought to be able to tell you that it was a work of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people before say, well, I just came into church the first time. Somebody and buddy of mine invited me to church, and I left my Budweiser in the car, and I went on in, and I went up front, and I said a prayer, and I'm saved. Well, what about the work of the Spirit? When did you experience lostness? What about the repentance? What about all that? It's more than just coming down front and repeating the preacher's words.
Right.
It's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit will break you down. It'll complete the work of reproval. It'll reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Not just one, not two out of three, but all three. It'll be complete. That work of conviction will be complete. The godly sorrow, it'll clearing of yourselves, what vehement desire, all of that kind of stuff, and it'll be complete.
Right.
And you can't do that of yourself. Paul said in Galatians 1:20, he said, "I'm crucified with Christ." Now, do you think Paul crucified himself? No, he didn't do that. Just the same as you can't save yourself.
That's right.
Paul couldn't nail himself up. He couldn't crucify himself. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and not I, but Christ in me." And then he goes on to say, in Galatians 1:20, he says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." It's His faith. He enables, He gives you the faith and enables you to believe.
That's right.
Paul didn't say, I believe. He said, by the faith of the Son of God. He give it to me. He enables me to believe. 1 Peter 1:2 talks about the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit,
right,
unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, it's all the sanctification of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit,
right?
And as was said this morning, as he does that work, there will be times wherever He'll enable you,
mm-hmm,
to take a step toward Him.
That's right.
He'll teach sinners in the way as He enlightens the mind and as He loosens the will.
Yeah.
There will be times when you can take a step toward Him. And as was said this morning, when He enables you to take a step, do all you can to get to Him and reach as far as you can.
Right.
Do all you can.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's not works.
No.
Because He's enabled you to do it. And at that point, it's a human responsibility.
That's right.
And so, the work of the Spirit. We also see in John 3, verse number 5, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there, and he said this, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit,"
yep,
"he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And you can't do it unless it's the Word and the Spirit. You can't do it.
Yeah.
It's His work. And so, John 10, verse number 3, we talked about a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Talks about the sheepfold. It says, "To him the porter openeth."
That's right.
Now the porter in that is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that porter is going to open that door. And if the porter don't open that door, nobody's getting in that sheepfold. Because he says there'll be some that'll try to go in another way, but they're thieves and robbers.
That's right.
You got to go through the where porter openeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a work of the Spirit. Stumbling blocks. Can I just get saved whenever I want to? And to some, whenever they find out they can, it's a stumbling block to them.
Sure thing.
Well, I ought to be able to do whatever I want to. Well, that ain't the way it is.
Right.
That ain't the way it is. And we see the way of salvation. We see the weakness, the inability of the seeker. We see the work of the Spirit. It's His work, not ours.
Right.
But we also, fourthly, see the wonder of surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The wonder of surrender. The wonder of wonders. The wonder of it all, how He could love us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonder. I thought again this morning about that dying thief, mm-hmm, on the cross. Now, you're talking about a wonder of surrender. The one who is casting out cursings and revilings and scornings on Jesus when He was on that cross, just like the other one was. But all of a sudden, something transpired in his heart. I don't know if it was maybe some of them scripture verses that his mama and daddy made him memorize when he was younger. Maybe when he was younger and he would go to the temple and he would see a lamb sacrificed, the innocent dying for the guilty. I don't know what it was, but something transpired in his heart, and all of a sudden he said, Hey, are you over? You need to hush your mouth. We deserve what we're getting. But this one here, Jesus, he ain't done nothing wrong. He don't deserve this, but he's up here dying for us. He don't deserve it, but we do. And then something, a wonder, a surrender, something transpired in his heart. And he looked over and he said, Lord, will you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? Mm-hmm. He knew something that he was the Lord.
Yeah.
He knew something about a kingdom. Something transpired in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could call it a wonder. Mm-hmm. A wonder of surrender. Something transpired in him. And then Jesus looked over and said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. A wonder of surrender. Now, it's a wonder. I don't know how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in them, as the songwriter said. But he went on to say, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, I don't know how the Spirit moves. Basically, what he was saying was, it's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's a wonder that any of us are even here this morning.
That's the truth.
It's a wonder that we didn't wake up in a gutter drunk this morning. I mean, it's a wonder. I look back at some of the people that I was grown up with and school with and competed against, and I'm thinking, it is a wonder that I didn't end up like that. Some of them's already dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's a wonder. But above and beyond that, it's a wonder when anybody comes through that straight gate.
That's right.
It's a wonder whenever the Lord finishes doing, whenever the Holy Spirit finishes that work, breaks somebody down. That compunction is worked when you're ground to powder and your will is totally and completely broken.
Yeah.
And at that point, He enables you to believe.
That's exactly right.
It's a wonder.
Wonder.
A wonder of surrender. It's a total wonder. Of surrender. You say, well, how in the world does this, how does it take place? Well, it's a wonder. But Psalms 110, verse number 3, says, thy people shall be made willing. Surrender in the day of His power.
Right.
And that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. Now, another stumbling block would be, well, it's all His fault. No, it ain't His fault. He ain't lost a drop of power. He's the same one that He's the same one that we'll see it tonight. He's the same one that cleansed a Syrian leper, Naaman. He got that same power. He ain't lost anything. But Isaiah 59 says the problem is that our sins have separated us from Him. Now, that's not me. That's the Bible.
Right.
The Bible also says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's not just all the elect. That's all. He wants everybody to be saved. But because some have run up against the stumbling block, and He said strive. Why did He say strive? Because there's some things that as He enables you, you're going to have to get out of the way, and some of them are stumbling blocks.
Sure thing.
And if you don't get them things out of the way when He enables you to, you're just going to keep butting up against it and butting up against it like one of them robotic sweepers. That you're just going to keep, you ain't going to get no closer. You're just going to keep bumping into it.
Mm.
You're going to have to strive. But in the day of His power, that's what we need. We need Him to come and move and manifest in presence and power. You say, well, how should I be praying for this upcoming meeting? Pray that He'll show up in His manifested presence and power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. We need His power. So, stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. To some, not being able to be saved whenever they want to is a stumbling block. And to some, it's an offense. And they throw in the towel and quit. Some are still thinking that. They'll say, well, I'm just going to live however I want to. And then whenever I get ready to lay down and die, right before I do that, I'm going to say these words. It ain't going to work. I knew a man, and he's dead and gone now, but he had that thought. Now, he was a Church of Christ. So what he thought was, he said, I'm going to live however I want to. And whenever he was in the hospital and they told him he didn't have much time, he said, could y'all go get a cattle trough and bring it up here and fill it up with water so that I can get baptized before I die? And now, he didn't ask me, but he asked the elders of the church, and they did it. They brought something up there. But he thought, I'm going to get saved whenever I want to. And some people thinking baptism. Some people thinking church membership. Right. Some people's thinking whatever. You can sign whatever you want, but unless the Lord does the work,
that's right,
it won't get done. And that's why we need the Lord more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Our country's in trouble. Our homes are in trouble. We're trouble all around us. But what we need is the Lord. What we need is the Lord. We don't need a new president. We don't need a new better car. We need the Lord.
Right.
It's what we need more than anything. To some, not being able to be saved whenever they want to is a stumbling block. Instead, let the Lord work as He speaks, as He enables, respond, as we heard this morning. And Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. May the Lord help somebody in the days to come, maybe today.
Amen.
To remove some stumbling blocks in their lives.
Yep.
And as I don't know if we'll deal with one every Sunday, but I've got some stumbling blocks that I've heard or maybe experienced. Mm-hmm. There's some stumbling blocks that we want to deal with from time to time and say, by the grace of God, help the Lord to remove those stumbling blocks from you. Mm-hmm. And if He enables you to do it, strive, remove those stumbling blocks out of the way so you can get to the straight gate and not be happy at the straight gate, but enter in. And then He'll say, welcome into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm looking for that day when everybody gets in.
That's it.
And I'm not excluding anybody.
Nope.
And so I'm looking for the Lord to do stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. Lord, I thank You for the day. Lord, I thank You for all Your many blessings. And Lord, I pray, Lord, there's no way that I'll be able to deal with specific situations, Lord, because I don't know what's on everybody's heart. Lord, I'm just dealing with the things that You give me and that You impress on me to deal with. But Lord, I pray some way, somehow, that You will enable somebody to maybe they're dealing with a stumbling block that they just feel like that they can't get around, that they can't deal with, and it's making them fall and making them stumble, and it's making them weak, and they're feeling like that they're just going to throw in the towel and quit. And Lord, I pray that You would just, Lord, some way, somehow, may something that's been said help somebody to let them know that, hey, the Lord is, He'll give grace for all those situations. It may be something that He'll enable the person to take care of themselves. But Lord, there are stumbling blocks on the road to salvation. And Lord, I pray that You'll just help people not to throw in the towel and not to quit. But Lord, line up with what the Bible says, not what I say or anybody else says, but what the Bible says. Lord, I hope people study it out and don't just take what I say for the truth, but Lord, be like the Bereans that studied the Word and then they were ready to receive it. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help people to do that. And Lord, I pray that You'll enlighten the mind, loosen the will, and allow somebody to take a step toward You this morning. Lord, only You can do that. But I pray that You'll help us now in Jesus' name. as she plays a couple of verses.